Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY25 NATH Biogenes Limited conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Deepika Sharma from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings call of NATH Biogenes Limited. We have on the call Mr. Satish Kakliwal, Managing Director, Dr. Devendra Khurana, Mr. Amol Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Harish Pandey, Business Lead, Dr. Venkatesh Kulkarni, Research Lead. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company may face. May I now request the management to take us through the financials and the business outlook, subsequent to which we will be opening the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Deepika, and a warm welcome to all of you. This is Satish Kakliwal, representing NATH Biogenes. I take this opportunity to thank you all for joining today's call. The agriculture sector is currently riding a wave of huge optimism. The minimum support price of MSP Rabi crop has been increased for the 2025-26 marketing season, with the government expecting these hikes to ensure remunerative prices for farmers and promote crop diversification. These timely hikes bring fresh motivation to farmers and open new avenues for growth. At NATH Biogenes, we have always prioritized providing high-quality seeds that meet the requirements of our farmers. Our portfolio, particularly in Rabi crops like wheat, mustard, and vegetables such as tomatoes, okra, and chilies, is poised to benefit from these sectoral tailwinds. R&D has always been central to our growth strategy, and we remain focused on advancing our efforts in this area. We are committed to things that are resistant to diseases and pests, backed by our extensive collection of germplasm. This trend allows us to continue enhancing our already robust product lineup. Cotton remains a core part of our portfolio, with hybrid paddy seeds being a key driver for our future growth. Beyond cotton, we maintain a strong focus on maize, bajra, vegetables, and plant nutrients, ensuring a well-rounded and resilient product offering. While we continue to improve the quality of our products, we're also making strides in expanding our marketing reach, working to establish a well-entrenched distribution network for our key brands like Super Surprise Bajra, like NATH Sanket, NATH Jumbo, Rana, and hybrid paddy Dhadak and Dhadak Gold. The momentum we're seeing across these areas, supported by the MSP increases, sets the stage for a strong second half of financial year 25. Building on our solid distribution and product quality, we have made significant progress internationally too, particularly in the Philippines and Uzbekistan. In Uzbekistan, our joint venture has seen notable advancements, with the production of cotton seeds in over 600 hectares of land. Harvesting is currently underway, and we are optimistic about the results. Once successful, we may consider further expansion and extending the same strategy to neighboring countries over time. In the Philippines, after successful trials, we are currently preparing for trial marketing of our products in the upcoming season. Friends, with these developments, we are confident in our ability to maintain a strong product pipeline while keeping a sound financial position and expanding our market presence. I would like to announce now that Mr. Amol Gupta has taken over the charge of CFO from Dr. Devinder Khurana. Mr. Amol Gupta has been with the company for a few years now and was being mentored for the CFO role as a process of succession planning. Dr. Devinder Khurana would continue to be with the company as senior vice president of the company. His role also has been enhanced and will be involved in multifarious activities to help the growth of the company. At this point, I'd like to invite Mr. Devinder Khurana to walk us through the financial and operational highlights for the first half. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. At the outset, I would like to inform you that our credit rating has been seen a double up gradation from BBB minus to BBB plus. This is a confirmation of our operational stability. During the previous communications, I had made a point that our company would continue the cotton story. Hybrid paddy would be emphasized upon, and we would lay enhanced effort on non-cotton, non-paddy NCP portfolios. The same has been pursued over the last 2-3 years. The results are evident in the growth in top line as also in the bottom line. Our diversified product portfolio has once again delivered strong results for H1 FY25, led by our top performing cotton hybrid Sanket and Jumbo, which both have shown growth in volume and value. Cotton saw an 11% increase in value over this period. The cotton and paddy segment also recorded an 8.1% year-to-year growth. Although the paddy volume dropped by 4.5%, the value increased by 5.48%, aligning with our focus on hybrid seeds. Maize had a bumper season with year-to-year value growth of 35.18%. Bajra also performed well with a value growth of 7.6%. Overall, our field crops grew by 2.3% in volume. However, the value growth was 9.62%, supported by better pricing. Our NCP portfolio also expanded by 7.3% in value, with the vegetable segment recording a 12.3% increase in the value. You may wonder that I have not touched upon volumetric growth. Kindly note that we have been strategically working on the product mix to get better pricing with lesser volumes. This reduces the burden on logistics but ensures the top line and margins. From a financial perspective, H1 FY25 top line clocked 276.07 crores, depicting a growth of Y2Y 7% as compared to H1 FY24. The gross profit margin has been maintained at 51%. The EBITDA for the first half stands at 42.18 crores and the profit after tax is 36.78 crores. Our working capital has significantly improved and we maintain a comfortable position in terms of debt being zero debt. The operating cash flows remain positive. Although we use the cash deposit of 75 crores as of March 24 for the current Kharif operations. Now, I would also like to hand over the floor to Mr. Amol Gupta to kindly address the gathering. Mr. Gupta.
Hello friends, good afternoon. At the first, I am very grateful for the trust the management has placed. I am committed to carry forward the NACH vision and goal while collaborating closely with the team to drive our success. Our success means not only company but the stakeholders also. Together, we will build on our accomplishments and continue exploring new growth opportunities. Thank you once again. Khurana sir, over to you to continue.
Thank you, Amol. And now I would like to open the forum for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Shefali Art. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. How has the recent increase in minimum support price for Rabi crops influenced the overall strategy and the sales outlook?
What you are asking is that the MSP, if it has been raised by the government, then whether it will affect our seed sale, something like that, though?
Yes, something like that. So is there any strategy or, I mean, will that affect the sales?
Okay. So I think we have Mr. Harish Pandey here. He's the business lead. He will answer this question.
Yeah, definitely. It will help us because when government increases MSP, farmer attracts to buy the better seed to get the better pricing at the time of sale. When he goes to the mandi, he will get the better prices. So it's good for us.
Okay. And what specific growth opportunities do you see in this Rabi crop segment, particularly in wheat, mustard, and vegetables, given the current scenario tailwinds?
Yeah, because the good rainfall has been received, so definitely it will help. It's not to the North seeds, it will help to the entire industry. Right, and definitely the seed sale will go up and the farmer will get the better yield because of the irrigation facilities available across. So it's not only one or two states, maximum states are having the good rainfall this time.
Okay. And can you elaborate on your R&D initiatives, especially the disease and the pest resistance seeds? Are they giving you a competitive, how are they giving you a competitive advantage? And secondly, is the margin better on them?
Dr. Gulshani, would you like to address that, please?
Thank you very much for this question. We are approaching disease resistance in both conventional way as well as molecular marker way. In mostly in rice and as well as in tomato, we are approaching this into a molecular marker, DNA-based marker system. And in other crops, we are approaching this with conventional system. Disease resistance is very important in almost all the crops, especially when the disease is creating big losses. Our seeds, which are getting emerged in okra as well as in tomato, are totally resistant. A company has taken a policy that without appropriate markers, at least 2 to 3 markers, we should not release a hybrid. Similarly, in rice also, we are ready with 2 products and we are going to come with to the market. This indicates that we also get a better price for, especially in okra and tomato, for disease resistance.
You said in okra and tomato, you get a higher price. That's
yes, higher price for the disease resistance.
Okay. And how much does it contribute to the sales?
That would depend upon the market conditions. The quantifiability cannot be, you know, addressed at this particular time. However, kindly understand that we are deeply into research. And any product that goes into the market is basically researched properly through labs or outside the lab in the field. So the product will demand the price and the product will also demand the quantity, which is unpredictable at the beginning of the research.
Okay. And in the what are the gross profit margins in the paddy segment? If you can just mention this.
Overall, the company has been maintaining a gross margin of around 51-52%. In paddy, in hybrid, we have a good margin, goes to 60+. In RS, it goes down to around 40+. Similarly, cotton has different margins. We have crops coming, vegetables is a better margin than wheat. So as a result, overall, if you have a look at it, you will find that the company has been able to maintain the gross profit margins of 51, 52, 53% depending upon various product mixes. And we are always in the process of maintaining and improving upon it.
No, that is exactly my question. Despite the fluctuations in product volumes, still you are able to maintain the gross profit margin at around 51%. How do you do that?
That's if you move from RS to hybrid paddy, then your profit goes up definitely with the reduction in volume, right? If you sell something which is 100 rupees and you get 70, and if you sell something which is 100 rupees and you get 30, that is where the product mix should matter.
Okay. Then are we doing something about our debt? I mean, how much is the debt? And if we can segregate the debt in long term, and what is the working capital debt?
I think you need to go through my balance sheet, and you should have also heard when I said that we have zero debt. And we have had zero debt for almost about 5-7 years now. We don't have any long-term debt.
Okay. And what is the ROE of the company then?
ROE of the company, I have not yet calculated the way you're asking for it. Maybe I can let you know separately.
Fine. I'll come into the queue then.
Okay. Next, please.
The next question is from the line of Jinesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
And thank you for the opportunity. As per the result, it shows that the inventory at the end of Q2 is 160 crore. So it is fair to understand that this inventory will be liquidated in Q3?
We give you H1 and H2 results purposely because by the end of September, the Kharif season is over, the sales are over, the sales have been clocked and the sales return have also been booked. Now the inventory which is lying at the end of H1, also includes the cotton which is going to be sold in next Kharif because cotton gets produced only once in a year.
Okay.
So our predicament that this inventory will get liquidated in H2, not Q3 in any case, H2 is Rabi. The vegetables and maize and certain other crops which go through, yes, but as far as cotton is concerned, it is going to go over to the next year. That's happening perpetually year after year.
So out of 160 crore inventory, how much inventory is going to be liquidated in H2?
Maybe around 50-60 crores.
Okay. And what was our inventory level at the end of Q1?
We don't work into Q1 because Q1, you have made the sales inventories lying into the market, the sales return has not been booked, the rains have not set in and the returns have not yet come. So I would request, I have always requested the investor community not to judge the company on Q basis. Please do it on H basis. It's much, much, much easier for all of you.
Okay. Okay. So what is total available land we have on lease for seed cultivation as on today in India?
We go through seed cultivation through organizers and farmers for our production. And this stage we take land on leasehold rights and it goes to around 15,000-20,000 acres or even more at times. It depends, it keeps changing with the crop, it keeps changing with the season, it keeps changing with the state.
Okay. Do we have any advance order book as on today for Q3 and Q4?
In seeds, there is nothing called advanced order book. Let's not compare seed industry with manufacturing industry. What we have is advanced booking which comes through advance of sales. Last year, the advanced booking was almost 70-80 crores, which was for the next year. So there is nothing called advanced book because that happens only in the manufacturing industry. In seed industry, we have advance which is received against sales provided your product is good and your market demand is high. And we normally launch our advance booking schemes in December onwards, and by March they are closed for Kharif.
Understood. Sir, who are our major competitors in India?
Now that would also depend from crop to crop. I think I'll let Mr. Harish Pandey handle that.
Okay, so you are asking crop by competition?
I'm asking general question, the way we have the product mix, who are our competitors in India?
Competitors like, you know, Rasi is our competitor, Kaveri is our competitor, Nijibutu Seeds is our competitor, or you can take Myco is our competitor. These are the 4-5 big companies who are competing with us.
Okay. Are we planning for any inorganic growth in terms of JV with local seed manufacturers as of now?
No.
No, not yet, not yet. I made this statement about a year and a half back. Let the company stabilize in the kind of growth target that we have set for ourselves. One, we cross 500 crores top line, then maybe we will think of further diversification as of now. Sorry.
Okay. Sir, you mentioned about Uzbekistan 600 hectare of land where initial trial has been done. Post trial successful and this land is used for the crop for seed cultivation. What can be expected revenue from this?
Yeah, I'd like to answer this question. Uzbekistan as a country made a good beginning. We have started seed production. We have already started research there. And based on the success of this particular initiative, which will be known to us by January, February, next year's plans will be firmed up. So all will depend on how next 6 months we really fare in terms of quality of seed production and demand for seeds and also sales, how we will really go through it, how is the initial response. Based on that, in the month of February, March, we'll be deciding next year's plans. If everything goes, we'll at least wish to double the seed production there and also improve the genetics through our research. This is the kind of plan I can tell you about Uzbekistan. Okay?
So what was our spend on R&D last year and this year?
Around 8 to 10 crores.
For this year or last year?
No, I think you can open the balance sheet. There is a separate schedule which gives our R&D expenses detail-wise for last year also as well as for this year. So, but we generally maintain around 9 to 10 crores which we have been spending on research.
Okay. And sir, what is the contribution of vegetable seeds normally in our revenue if we talk about H1, H2 or entire year?
Entire year, we have around 60% coming from cotton and paddy, around 20% coming from other field crops, around 10% coming from vegetable and around 10% coming from plant nutrient supplement. Now, this is something which we have been trying to improve upon by reducing the dependence on cotton and paddy and increasing the revenues from other field crops. It is happening, but what happens is that when other field crops grow, the cotton also grows and paddy also grows. So as a result, the whole thing remains same. And you had asked for a question on research. Last year it was 9.37 crores. This year it is 11.28 crores.
Okay. Sir, the company is filing GST every month or quarterly basis?
Monthly basis, please, and we file 16 or I think 18 GSTs every month because every branch is registered with GST. And we have a segment of 16 branches all over the country.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. I will join back into the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Avi Agarwal from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to ask if you could provide more details on the progress made in the Uzbekistan joint venture and how do you plan to scale the cotton seed production in that region?
Mr. Kagliwal has just answered this question. Anything specific in that area, please? We just asked by the last gentleman.
So sorry, I couldn't hear it. Maybe if you could give a brief call.
What he said was that we are into cotton seed production in Uzbekistan. This is the first year on which we have taken 600 hectares of land under cotton seed production. This year being the first year, we are producing the local varieties there and growing them and selling them back to the public at large, basically for seed production. Okay. And if this goes through properly, which it is likely to go through because we are very sure of it and all efforts have been put, next year we will continue this process by increasing the production as also trying to add our own BT carrying varieties in the country because they don't have that. And once that goes through, then we'll set up a plant of our own. Now, this is a long drawn out process. But over a period of time, definitely profit.
Oh, got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, sir, if you could explain to us what goes into the consolidation of our numbers and why are our profits lower on consolidation?
We are consolidating the results with the profit and loss account of Uzbekistan. This is the first year and the sales have not yet taken place. Although we have taken the production expenses into the inventory for the time being, but salaries and administrative expenses and all the other expenses will tend to be lost. So I bear that 90% in my book. That is why there is a reduction in profit of the consolidated results vis-a-vis the standalone results.
And sir, the JV, in that JV, we hold what stake, sir? I missed your point.
90%.
90% is held by us. And how much have we invested?
As of September, it was around $7 or $8 lakh.
US dollars?
Yes, please.
Right, sir. Sir, when we look at our borrowing, it is we do not have any long term, but we have finance cost to the tune of, I think so, as mentioned, is 5 crore rupees. Yeah, that is the working capital. Yeah.
Sorry, I have a working capital of 105 CR. That carries cost,
right? Right, sir. And you mentioned about our rating being upgraded also. The last rating with CRISIL is dated November 23. Any further update post that? 28 November.
I have two rating agencies looking after me. One is CRISIL, of course, and second is India Rating. India Rating has already given their current year results and they have taken it up from BBB minus to BBB plus, one shot double jump. As far as CRISIL is concerned, they are still mulling over the results and all those things that we have given. It is expected maybe over next few days. It has gone to the, it was likely to go to the committee this week or next week.
Okay. So looking at the growth aspect, other than the Uzbekistan venture, which we are currently pursuing, what else would lead to growth, as you alluded to the fact that we will be first eyeing to stabilize the operation or to reach to that 500 revenue mark. So what steps are we taking and by when can we think that taking into account the current product profile, we will be reaching 500 when? What is our endeavor?
If it was for me to reach, I would have reached last year only. But markets have their own way, products have their own way of selling. We are expecting that if we continue to maintain a general growth of around 15% to 20%, say 15% plus, it may take around 2 to 3 years.
Sir, taking into account the current product profile only, we will be achieving this this path of 15 to 20% growth?
I would say yes and no, because current profile is also a very flexible profile, which is being changed with the help of the research and development people. So the moment we get, like Sanket came and suddenly it helped us. Jumbo came, it helped us. Akhand came in tomato, it helped us. So as a result, product portfolio, which is existing, well accepted into the market, plus the new products that are expected maybe this year, next year, all this will contribute to the growth of the company. Now, secondly, we have not yet touched Uzbekistan. If that goes through by end of this year or next year, maybe that will also support. And to add to that, there has been an issue regarding Philippines. I would request MD sir to also throw a light on that, because if that happens properly, that will also give an impetus to the top line.
Yes, sir. MD sir will comment on the thing.
Sadhish sir? Hello? Okay, maybe he'll come back. Let me tell you, Philippines, we have been burning fire for almost about quite many years, and it has been Philippines. finally, last year, we got our permissions and the trials were conducted and things were very well accepted. And this year, we are trying to sell cheese to the government. And if that goes through this year, the next year, it will become a multiple growth.
Okay. And so in Philippines, what is our business model there? It is again through a JV only that we have, and have been our business?
It is only a direct export to the government. If that establishes, then we'll come to know what is to be done. That's a little flexible as of now.
Okay. And currently, the last few years, what has been the business we have done with the Philippine government?
Zero.
Okay. So currently, we are only creating the surface and getting the enrollment and the certification done.
Yeah, so that in any seed industry, in any country, it's a long drawn out process. It takes about 5-7 years because there are hundreds of tests that has to be done in every country. It happens in India also. But once you have broken that, then the sky is the limit.
Okay. But you were mentioning that we are at inflection point for them. If you could just complete that part of the story, the MD sir is available now?
Inflection point for the simple reason, because now if this year the sales is given on a larger scale and if that performs, as the demonstration trials are performed, then maybe by the time we come to our next phone call, we'll be able to elaborate much better on that.
Sir, I missed your point. Come again, please.
I said that once the demonstrations are closed and the product reviews are good, the acceptance is okay by the government, then we go for larger production areas. There, it is government controlled, so government is buying and government will sell or plant it itself or whatever happens. If that goes through this year properly, then maybe next year we'll be able to upscale the exports.
Okay. And when we will hear about it, sir? What is the timeline?
Maybe after one crop year, maybe next year.
One more year we have to wait for the government.
Yeah,
are
yeah.
we only working on Philippines for the company to grow? No, no. I have my domestic sales happening. I have domestic sales itself having capability of going beyond 500. And am I going to only tie up on Philippines to take the company forward? I think there is something something missing.
Correct.
Philippines is a cherry on the cake. If it happens, it will happen. Definitely it will happen. Let's not bank upon Philippines for North Bayan to grow.
Right. So two small points. H2 generally is seasonally weak quarter, as you very well mentioned that we cannot look at our hello.
H2 is a weak half year. You were trying to say that?
Yes, sir. H2 generally is traditionally also, and also seasonality also, the reflection is there in the numbers also. So how, as per our understanding, how should the second half look for the current financial year?
Generally, it is around 70-30. That is the basic seed industry norms until you are very strong in vegetable and supplement, which we are trying to be, not yet. So as a result, I'm expecting another maybe around 80 to 100 added in the H2.
Okay, sir. And sir, when you mentioned about the resistance, seed resistance to this pesticide, can you elaborate? There is no need of spraying of fungicides or insecticides on the harvest. This, if you could just give more clarity on the same.
Dr. Kulkarni, sir, would you please like to explain?
Yeah, there is resistance to virus means the virus will not appear. Otherwise, if the virus appears, there will be a losses to the crop to the tune of 50 to 70%. So that much of yield is saved to the farmers. For that only, the resistance is very important in this. For example, in cotton, BT gene imparts a resistance to bollworm. Otherwise, we have to spray for 4-5 times, and in spite of spraying, there will be about 40 to 60% losses. So resistance will bring you that much of recovery from the losses. Like that.
The last point I missed about the spraying and what you mentioned.
If, for example, BT cotton, which is resistant to bollworm, in case if it is non-BT cotton, then the farmers used to spray about 4 to 6 times to control the bollworm. In spite of that, there used to be a great losses to the yield. Now with the introduction of BT gene, the cotton is resistant to bollworm. That means to say that 40% of the losses that whatever they used to have, that is being recovered, and then insecticide spray for bollworms is nil, like that.
Sure. Okay. So it will act as a prevention. I mean, they need to spray, but
it prevents. It actually prevents.
Okay. Right, sir. I'll join the queue, sir, for the follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Reena Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to know how you have diversified your portfolio in maize and bajra, and how it can help you to, you know, offset the challenges in other crop segments.
Ma'am, diversification is not only in maize and bajra.
Okay.
Our company has a fully diversified portfolio because we are into cotton, that is fiber. Then we are into field crops, which consist of paddy, maize, bajra, wheat. Then we are into oils, which is mustard. Then we are into vegetables, which is like tomato, okra, and such other vegetables. And then we are also into a nutrient supplement segment. So all the major five segments of seed industry are covered by North Biogen India Limited. And when I say maize or bajra, it is like promoting, you get good product, you promote maize. It doesn't set off the losses or anything else of other, because every product, every crop is supposed to perform the way it is supposed to perform. There is no setting off. Every diversification portfolio goes forward. The whole diversified portfolio goes forward, okay?
Okay. And sir, how do you see H2 FY25 panning out in terms of growth?
Abhi to maine bola. Anyway, I'm expecting around 80 to 100 here.
80 to 100?
Crores.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Shefali Arts. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Now, I can see from your balance sheet as well as from your profit and loss that you have about 9 to 10 crores of yearly interest. Now, what this interest is being paid only on term loan or is it paying only on the working capital?
I did mention, Sanjeevi ji, that we don't have a term loan. So the interest doesn't work on term loan. We only pay interest on the working capital. And at times in between, in the season, if I need more money for the time being, then maybe I will raise an ICD or two, which gets repaid over 2-3 months. Then the interest is paid on the deposits of the customers that we are holding in our books. All that put together comes to the interest cost. No term loan again.
And who has the company given about 11 crore of loan in that? Because there is an asset side. There is the 11 crore loan pending.
That is a temporary advance which we had put into one of our ventures in Uzbekistan also. That is one, because that's an asset which is showing into my books. Once Uzbekistan starts paying backward, maybe their money will be received.
Okay. And sir, wanted to know, where will the sales growth actually come from? Because I know that the company cannot be seen quarter on quarter basis. It has to be seen yearly basis. But how will in the next 2-3 years for a long-term investor, where will the sales growth will come from?
Cotton should continue to grow 15-20%. Paddy should grow by about 10-15%. Vegetables should grow by about 20-25%. Supplement should grow, which has fantastic margins. We should grow around 25-30%. Maize and bajra have been supporting us. Mustard this year is also doing very well. So as a result, the entire basket will contribute towards the growth of the company.
And you see approximately, I mean, on an average, about 20% growth, because most of the factors are going 20-25%.
I am a very conservative finance guy. I would always say 15% plus. Then wherever, even if they give me 25, I'll be very, very happy. You and me both.
True. Okay. And just my last question, actually, on overall industry as well as on this, do we have any scheme like a Kusum scheme or are we like, or we should see this company as a B2C company which only sells it to the farmers? How does the industry work? actually?
You see, no seed company sells to the farmers. The seed companies will sell to the distributors, who sell to the dealers, who sell to the farmers. It's a triple C in effect. Because there are, if I'm creating, say, 15 lakh packets of cotton and one farmer is taking one packet on an per acre, I can't be handling 15 or 10 lakh farmers there. So as a result, all seed companies go through distributor lane. We have around 4,000 or 5,000 distributors strung all over the country. And we just go through them. They have, every distributor has around 10, 15 dealers. And every dealer has around 15, 20, 25, 30 farmers. That's how the chain goes.
Okay. So there is no government involvement or there is no government scheme which helps the farmers to get these at a better price?
What Harish Pandeji is telling me is that small companies do sell it to the farmers, but those who are, they are like sporadic product sale. Those who are not into deep research, they are very small in numbers and small in volume. They can do B2B, but we cannot. We run through our distributors only. And it's a time-tested, proved model. You are saying something about the government?
Yeah, perfect. I mean, I understood that the model. I just wanted to know that there is no government scheme in which they procure it and they give it at a subsidized rate to the farmers. There is nothing like that which we participate.
No, we don't. We don't. We have already burnt our fingers in one or two governments and we are very, very wary of it. Thank you very much. We aren't going into that route. The monies don't come.
Right. But in the foreign government, what you said that it takes about 5 years for the approval and then you will be supplying it to the government or you will be following the same distributor model?
No. When I said 5 years, it takes, this question of testing. You know, you put it in 20 feet, then you get it tested by human being, you get it tested by animals and so many things. That is the testing period. Once that is over, then you set up your module depending upon how strong you are into your product and how strong you are into that nation and what is their system.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Jinesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, in how many states in India we have presence as of now?
Sorry?
All the states.
Okay.
And India.
Okay. Can you please elaborate what is the cotton seed market in Philippines as on today?
Okay. See, cotton was previously several years ago being grown in cotton in Philippines. Then due to several reasons, including climate and including variety, the area under cotton growing reduced substantially. It is very, very low area now. But the government there is very keen to re-establish cotton as a crop. So they have, we have been working with the government to sort of promote cotton cultivation into the country. So first step was to go with the right varieties, the right technology, which has been done. So now our task is to bring back the cotton cultivation in Philippines, which was earlier into a large area. Now it will be practically beginning from a very low, practically zero area to a large area. So as of now, cotton growing is not much there in Philippines. Okay?
Okay. Sir, at the end of H1, we have 160 crores of inventory and as you elaborated, mostly this inventory will be sold in next year H1. So, are we planning anything to optimize this inventory year on year because this is going to occupy most of our working capital?
Yeah, but please understand, there are two ways of doing it. One is you spread yourself thin, maintain your top line and gain the bottom line. Second is you reduce your working capital dependence and then you suffer on the top line and you suffer on the bottom line. I prefer to be on the first line. Okay. I can have debtors of around 100 CR spread over 5,000 people with everybody owing me 2 lakh rupees and I can still maintain that because working capital is funded beautifully by my bankers and by the advance booking coming from the market. So we are heavy on working capital, but we are not suffering because of working capital. Rather, we are gaining because of the spread of working capital. I think we are a good model.
Okay. So you are going to keep similar kind of inventory level every year at the end of H1. Is this the right understanding?
If you look into the balance sheet and if you go through the working capital available at the end of March, what an analyst will do is divide that inventory by last year's sale. Whereas he forgets that this inventory is lying for the next year's sale. You expect me to grow by 20%, my inventory will also grow, right? And my debtors will also grow. So the growth itself will result into enhanced working capital and enhanced, what do we say, debtors. But as long as we have funds at the end of the year to fund that, I haven't increased the working capital from the bank for last almost about 3 years now. Because we are funding it from accruals and advance bookings.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity again. Sir, when we look at our property, plant, and equipment, the closing balance as on September is 243 crore. So what exactly goes into it? Because it is one time or 1.10 times asset turnover. If you could just.
Kapoor sir, I would request you, please go through my balance sheet of March for the time being, okay? Just hear me out. Go through the balance sheet of March and you will find out of these 243 crores, the major asset, the major chunk is land and not property and plant and equipment. Now that land is being used by the company for the search operation. I need land because I'm a land-based company. So the fixed assets are hardly 2-3 crores. The land itself is 223 crores. So reduce that and you find that we have come down to some which is very, very low. Land cannot be compared for, the overall ratios. Please remove that and you will find we are very, very comfortable more than that.
And these lands are where the labs are situated, or sir, what is the applicability of these land?
Yes, no, the lab is situated in Aurangabad, where our registered office and head office is. It is right behind where I'm talking and sitting now. Lands are spread in the field areas. We have almost about 250, 300, 400 acres of land. It's well irrigated, well cultivated. All our foundation seeds, not foundation seed, pardon, all our breeder seeds, and research is carried out on these lands because I cannot give it to outsiders, otherwise my product will get pilfered.
Right, sir. And which are the geographies where this we are holding this land bank?
This is basically in Maharashtra.
Okay, and these are at market value, sir, this current land bank of 223 crore?
It was made to market value way back 3 years back when, or 4 years back when Ind AS had set in. So based on that India system, it has been taken on the market value at that particular time.
Correct. Sir, on the use of pesticides, fungicides and insecticides with the quality of seed, the resistance part of the story which was explained earlier, you are trying to explain that there's a dependence on the use of the same goes down? Or we can also claim that there would not be any use, there would not be any need of the use of the same to prevent the crop from a particular disease.
Dr. Kulkarni, sir, please.
There is nothing like that. This is a continuous war between plants and diseases or pests. There will be emerging pests and emerging strains of viruses, emerging strains of insects. So this is a continuous process in agriculture. It's very dynamic in nature. So we have to have a continuous this thing. There is no end of chemical pesticides in agriculture. There can be new safe molecules might come, but this war will continue. We breed diseases and they become susceptible to the new races, new biotypes. And then the insecticide use will increase. Again, we breed, that cycle goes on, boom and bust cycle.
Right, sir. So, no, sir, my point was when we claim that or when we put forward seeds in the market in the hands of farmers, putting stress on the point that these are resistant to, say, X, Y, Z attack of pest, does that pertain to no uses of these protective insecticides and fungicides, we have
yes.
that claims on the same?
No, we will only say that these are resistant to these pests and diseases.
Okay. Right, but as you mentioned that this is a dynamic situation, another category of pest may attack, so we need to continue with
our work, R&D, yes, our work we should be continuing.
Sir, depending upon the R&D part, sir, how many other seeds or R&D pipeline that we are working with, and particularly with reference to maize, we have seen that because of this ethanol blending and I think the country liquor part of the story gaining traction, the requirement for maize crop would may be increasing significantly. So what is our product profile on the maize seed part? If you could just elaborate.
Yeah, we are present in medium maturity, we are present in early maturity, and we also have a sizable single cross hybrids. In fact, I have to congratulate Mr. Harishji, because he is putting up a lot of efforts. Probably you might be knowing that our maize sales had good traction this time, and they have had a good jump in that. And we expect in maize to grow much faster next year.
Okay, so we are working with new varieties. That is what you are trying to...
Yeah, very new, very new, very new.
All single cross.
Yeah, okay. Yes, single cross.
When we mentioned NCP portfolio, can you just elaborate what are we trying to explain?
NCP.
Yeah. Sorry. I just got preoccupied for a second. NCP portfolio means non-cotton, non-paddy portfolio. That means it will consist of field crops. It will also consist of vegetable crops. And it will also consist of plant nutrient supplement. PNS, you are aware. Vegetable, you are aware. When I say other field crops, it would include mustard, jawar, bajra, wheat, and maize. So that is what, and when we say, you see what was happening was that CP portfolio has become dominant in the overall growth. We had around 70% plus happening from cotton and paddy, and other vegetables and other seeds were not getting the kind of due importance that they were supposed to be given. So three and a half, four years back, I had mentioned that we are going to maintain cotton and paddy, but we are also going to emphasize on the NCP crops. That is what we mean by that.
Right, sir. And the contribution of plant nutrients and supplements, if you could just elaborate, what are we alluding to and how are these sales in, applicable and implemented?
I did say earlier that it should be around 10% of the top line.
And these are applied at the time of sowing just to improve the quality of the harvest.
No. Vinchivin, that is our main plant nutrient supplement, is a photosynthesis product. It is sprayed onto the leaves, and through the process of photosynthesis, it is taken in and it is used by the plant. You can compare this product with the Revital. It has all the necessary ingredients and minerals, including some portions of NPK, but it doesn't go through the roots. It goes through the leaves and photosynthesis. However, we are also introducing Goli and another product which is going through the root system also. We are trying to diversify even our PNS segment.
Yeah, we are diversifying our
nutrient segment.
Okay, sir, and we can consider this as a value-added product, that is the margins for the plant nutrients and supplements are higher than... the gross margin also?
Two, three years back, I used to get around 70% on that. However, to enhance our sales and top line, we are passing some margins to the market so that not only we benefit, they also benefit. But it still gives me easily around 60 plus.
Okay. And so going ahead, what are our growth plans, sir, plant nutrients and supplements? Today it is 10%. So going ahead, what are we eyeing, and isme sir hum R&D kya kar rahe hain jisse naye supplements bhi hum
de? You don't need any research on this. These are ready-made products. The only research is in the field that when you spray it, if it gives good results, it becomes a research-oriented product. There's no genetic or lab research involved in that. And secondly, I PNS to become 30% and then say that my cotton is reducing or my feed crops are reducing. And like I made the statement earlier, the entire diversified portfolio has to grow together. It is a team. We aren't competing with each other. We are supplementing and supporting each other in each product, each crop.
Correct. Thank you, sir, for all the elaborate answers. And all the best, sir, and should be public to the team, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving opportunity again. Sir, what is our, are we planning for any CapEx on plant and machinery this year or next year?
No. The reason is very simple, that CapExes are not required. You will find over my last 5-7 balance sheet, there are hardly any CapExes. The reason is very simple, that I can get the processing done from a vendor. There are people with godowns, there are people with processing facilities. I don't need to maintain maize, which takes about 15 days, 1 month to be maintained, that plant and machinery for 365 days. So we are low on CapEx. We don't much spend on that. Saves me depreciation, saves me maintenance cost, and saves me the breakages.
Okay, and whatever plant and machinery we have, what is our current utilization on that?
We are processing our own vegetables in our own plant. We are processing cotton in our own plant. We are packing vincimin or plant nutrient supplement in our own plant.
And what is the utilization as of now of our own asset in terms of plant and machinery?
When it is season, we work maybe 2 shifts at a time.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Once again, I will take the opportunity to thank everybody. You know, it is more than an hour, and the interest shown by all of you into our company is heartwarming. It helps us to continue to strive better and grow better. Down the line, we hope that we are able to meet the targets that we have set for ourselves, which should be a little more than the targets that I keep giving it to you. Thank you, and a very, very, very happy Diwali to all of you. Let's hope that this Rabi also gives us the kind of quantum that we are looking for. Thank you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.